I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And he showed me a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done." Amen. "I am Alpha and Omega, yes, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and liars and adulterers and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He that testifieth these things saith, 'Surely I come quickly.' Even so, come, Lord Jesus." What a wonderful Savior. Wow, I'm happy to see you tonight. If you weren't here, there wouldn't be anybody here. Pastor, I want to congratulate you for the marvelous Easter morning. Amen. This man preached three messages this morning. Amen. But you know, he's young and tough. He can take it. What a marvelous outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power. Amen. We praise God for it. Well, I'm so glad to be a part of this Easter Sunday. It's one of the great days of my life. I remember when I was growing up as a kid. Now, you kids, you hunted Easter eggs this afternoon or this morning or sometime. We never hunted eggs on Sunday. That was a sin. We always hunted eggs on Easter Monday. We were out of school. Many times we hid them and found them in the snow. That was fun. Easter's a wonderful time. They just sang about it. Wasn't that a beautiful song? Amen. And the men, now I want to say this, Pastor. I already told you. If Corey would shave his head, we'd have a bald trio. I knew it was funny, but I didn't know it was that funny. It is a joy to be here tonight, and I'm glad that you are here and to be a part of the service. The runway is open. I've used enough of it. Let's get airborne. What do you say? Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the book of Acts, chapter 1. As you're finding your place in the book of Acts, often called the fifth gospel, because it takes up where Jesus left off. As you're finding your place, I need to remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. Amen. And the Bible is right. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Amen. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. I'm glad it's settled right here on earth in this wonderful book we call the Bible. Amen. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Amen. What a wonderful book. I'm going to read, after I pray, I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, down through verse number 11. I invite you to join with me as we pray. Now, Father, how grateful we are for this wonderful day that we call the Resurrection Day. Happy are the hearts of those who know Jesus as Savior. Sad are the hearts of those who do not know Him. And Father, it saddens us to know that so many people around us are unsaved, unreached, unloved, unenlisted. I pray that we might do our part in these days to enlist them, to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ, should there be one or more in this service tonight who has never anchored his or her faith in the Lord Jesus as his or her Savior, may they do it in this hour. It's our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. A straight reference right into the book of Luke, the same author, by the Holy Spirit, of course. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things, don't miss this, pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Easter Sunday morning has come and gone, and what a celebration it was. We have celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the hallmark of the Christian faith. Indeed, the resurrection distinguishes Christianity from the other 10 major religions of the world. Out of the 11 major religions of the world, only one can boast a living head. That's Christianity. Amen. And that's Christ. Amen. And Christ is alive.
Amen.
That's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
Some of you here tonight are old enough to remember Gabriel Heder, a war correspondent on the radio. How many of you remember that name? Anybody remember that but me? Am I the oldest person here? My stars. A lot of you look like you could remember Noah. But anyway, Gabriel Heder, when the Allied forces were making gains in the war, he'd come on every night at 7 o'clock. There's good news tonight. Can I tell you, there's good news tonight.
Amen.
Jesus is alive.
Yes. Amen.
The tomb is empty.
Yeah.
A new life has begun. Jesus died the death that we should have died, that we might live the life that he lives.
Yes.
We have experienced the thrill of seeing that the stone was rolled away. And I might tell you that the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. It was rolled away to let the apostles in. It has been observed that the stone that was on the outside of the tomb, some tell us it weighed 250, 275, maybe 300 pounds, is just a pebble when compared to the Rock of Ages that was on the inside.
Yeah,
William Jennings Bryan, some of you remember that name, he was 3 times candidate for the presidency of the United States. He represented the right side of the issue of the monkey trial, Scopes trial, in Dayton, Tennessee in 1925. And he said, and I quote, "While we are teaching our children the age of rocks, we ought to tell them about the Rock of Ages."
Amen.
Augustus Toplady wrote that song, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee, that the water and the blood from the wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure, and save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no languor know, these for sin cannot atone. Thou must save and thou alone. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me." What's next? Is this the end of this fabulous, fascinating, fantastic story? What do we do with the risen Lord? Do we put Jesus back into the empty tomb? Do we close the book on the sterling events of Easter Sunday? Do we write finish to the greatest story ever told? Do we forget what we have read and heard about the resurrection? No. No, no. 10,000 times no. Perish the thought. The excitement has just begun.
Yeah.
The new day just dawned. We now go beyond the empty tomb to the triumphant celebration of the post-resurrection glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall see him as we've never seen him before. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glories crowned, his lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that filled the heavenly train. He saw me plunged in deep distress and flew to my relief. For me, he bore the shameful cross and carried all my grief. To him I owe my life and breath and all the joys I crave. He makes me triumphant over death and saves me from the grave.
Amen.
What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. I've entitled this message, Beyond the Empty Tomb. I would have you note in the first place, now this is not an 18-minute message. I hope you didn't come to hear a 22-minute message. I'm an old man. It takes me a little longer to get started and to get through and to get finished. So just sit back and relax, please. Beyond the empty tomb, I say in the first place, is the undeniable proof of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The resurrection is referenced no less than 104 times in the New Testament. Would you look at verse 3 again with me? To whom also he showed himself alive, mark that word, alive, after his passion, after his crucifixion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I can imagine, how would you like to have been a student in that classroom for 40 days to heard the master teacher tell us about his kingdom, how beautiful, how majestic, how marvelous, how magnificent it would be. Somehow I can imagine that he described some of the things to them that John wrote about years later when he was on that lonely, windswept island of Patmos, and he put these words in place. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture, and upon his thigh, he had a name written, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Riding on a white horse, and we're going to come with him. Now, I have a problem with riding a horse. When I go up, the horse comes down. When the horse goes up, I go down. So that's a bad situation. But I'm going to learn how to ride a horse because I'm coming back with him on a horse. A white horse, clean, clothed in linen, white. What a wonderful... Jesus must have told his disciples about all of those beautiful things that would be in his kingdom. He talked 40 days about things pertaining to the kingdom. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, from kingdoms from shore to shore, till the moons shall wax and wane no more. Behold the islands with their kings, and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful kingdom. Now, I call your attention to three words in verse 3, many infallible proofs. By the way, this is the only place in the New Testament that the word infallible appears. Many infallible proofs. That word means a sure or positive sign. So we have the sure, the positive signs, incontrovertible proof that the resurrection was a fact of history and Jesus was and is and forevermore shall be alive.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say.
Yes.
I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near.
Right.
He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Let's go back to verse 3 for a moment. He showed himself alive. He made appearances, and I give them to you just by name. Number one, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Number two, the women returning from the tomb. Number three, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Number four, to the Apostle Peter. Number five, to the 12 apostles. Number six, to 500 people all at one time. There's not a court on this planet that would not listen to the testimony of 500 people who said they saw the same thing at the same time. Absolute proof. And then there's Thomas. Like some of us, Doubting Thomas. That was his nickname. Here comes Doubting Thomas. Didymus, the twin, maybe to Matthew. But you know what he's, by the way, he was absent on the first Sunday night when Jesus appeared to his apostles. First Sunday night. Where's Thomas? Thomas not here. All during the week they talked about it, and he said, oh, I won't believe it unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into his side. I'll not believe what you guys are saying. Guess what? Next Sunday night, Thomas was in church. And when Jesus saw him, he said, Thomas, come here a minute. I understand you told your buddies that you wouldn't believe that I was alive unless you could put your hand in the print. Put your fingers right there, Thomas. And put your hand in my side. And Thomas was overwhelmed. He didn't say, Lord, I believe now. I've seen it. No, he said, my Lord and my God. Wow. He appeared to James. He appeared to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to Paul. Remember, he said in 1 Corinthians 15:8, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. Now, years after his ascension, he went back to heaven, you know, seated at the right hand of God. Years after that, he made another appearance. He appeared to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. And here's John's response when he saw him. What if Jesus appeared to us tonight? What would we say? How would we describe it? Here's how John described it in Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on me and said, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore.
Amen.
And have the keys of hell and death.
Yes.
What a Savior. Listen, only the resurrected Christ could say that, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Now, what are some of the things that Jesus did after his resurrection and before he was ascended in that 40-day period? One, he broke bread. Luke chapter 24 and verse 30. Number two, he showed his disciples his hands and his feet. Luke 24:39. The third thing, he ate with his disciples. Luke 24 verse 42 and 43. I love this next one. He prepared a meal for his disciples. Before they got to the land, they were out in the Sea of Galilee. Before they got to land, they saw coals, red hot coals, with fish laid on them and bread. And in the 12th verse, as they got to the shore and started toward Jesus, Before they got a good start, he said to them in verse 12, come and dine. Every time I see that or hear that, I'm reminded many years ago when I was just a little boy, growing up in my dad's church, every Sunday morning, 11 o'clock sharp, great choir, 75 or 80 people, stand to their feet, the organ, the piano swelled, and they sang, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at, I would sing it if I knew, you know. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude and turned the water into wine saith now to the hungry, come and dine. Listen, we get to the Lamb's Supper. I'm going to put in my order, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want fish and chips. On bread, fish, and chips. Pass the peanut butter along with it. What a time we're going to have. Infallible proofs. Now, one of the most profound statements that Jesus ever made, in my opinion, is written in John 14:19. The end of that verse says, I'm quoting Jesus. Well, that's a great, isn't that a great authority to quote? What I say won't amount to much, but what I say that Jesus said amounts to a whole lot. I remember Dr. Norris telling us students, interpret scripture by scripture. Our words don't mean much, but God's word means everything. Amen. Jesus said, here it is. Because I live, ye shall live also. The only reason you're living tonight is because of Jesus. The only reason you'll be living a million years from now, a trillion years from now, is because of Jesus. Amen. His sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives who once was dead. He lives my ever-loving head. I love Jesus tonight because he first loved me. Now that brings me to my second point, and I just have 33 of these, so just sit back and relax. Number two, beyond the empty tomb is the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now follow me carefully on this. Verse 4, quoting Jesus again, here's what he said. Wait for the promise of the Father. Did you know good things happen to people who wait? I call Isaiah to the witness stand. He said in chapter 40 at verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the psalmist said in the 40th psalm, I waited patiently upon the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And establish my goings. And they put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, Jesus enlarges more on the promise of the Father. Listen to it very carefully. I'm quoting Jesus. Luke 24, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But, now watch this waiting period, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until, now can I say right here before I go any further, until you and I have the Holy Spirit in our lives and upon us, we might as well stay at home. Don't go out and knock on any doors in your own strength and talk in your own language for your own good. If you don't have the Holy Spirit's power, you're going in vain. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, when was that promise fulfilled? On the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1 to chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and sat on each one of them. And watch this, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now, that's not the jabbering of some denomination over here somewhere. Draw a line from tongues out in the margin of your Bible and put language, because that's what it was. Well, some of you don't believe it, but I'm going to prove it to you. Turn to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to prove it to you. Verse 5 of Acts chapter 2. Now, this is the day of Pentecost, and here's what happened. Verse 5 says, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. They finally list 17 of them up here in a little bit. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Because, listen to this, that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue or in our own language wherein we were born? Look down at verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others said, mocking said, these men are full of new wine. These men are drunk, acting like they are. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now you don't have to wait until the end time. The day of Pentecost, this was partially fulfilled. Exactly what Joel said would happen in the last days. People from every nation listening heard them in their own language. Number three, beyond the empty tomb is the perplexity of the apostles. Would you look with me at verses 6 and 7 again? When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, you don't miss this now, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it seems only natural that the apostles would ask such a question as that. After all, they had witnessed the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. And according to verse 3, Jesus had been talking to them for 40 days about the coming restoration of the kingdom. Naturally, they wondered when this golden age of David's kingdom would be restored. We have every reason to believe they would be familiar with the Old Testament scriptures that describe the kingdom of Israel, its beauty and majesty, peace and prosperity. They would also know the prophetical scriptures. Keep this in mind now, that told of the restoration of the kingdom. The apostles wondered, what is next on God's timetable? They were perplexed about it. Jesus reminded them in verse 7, the times and seasons were known only by God. And then he nails it down, if I can put it that way, in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13, you don't want to miss this verse. Mark, chapter 13, and verse 32. Jesus is speaking. I'm quoting him. You know I love to quote Jesus. He said, but of the day, that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son. Watch it. But the Father. Only God knows when all this is going to happen. And all of this about the kingdom being restored and all is going to begin actually with the rapture and then the tribulation and then the revelation and the kingdom and all the things that are attendant upon it. Little wonder that Jesus said it. I'm going, here I go again quoting Jesus. And it's just 5 minutes to 7. I'm quoting Jesus. Matthew 24:44, therefore, be ye, wait a minute, watch the word be. It didn't say get ready. You know, there's a difference between being ready and getting ready. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, since we don't know the time, we don't know when, we should live in readiness always, looking for his return. Amen. Paul emphasized it in Titus chapter 2 at verse 11. For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and godly and righteously in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, and the coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now hold on to that word looking. It's important. Number 4. Beyond the empty tomb is God's plan of worldwide evangelism. It's found in verse 8. Here it is. Remember, Jesus said God had these things reserved in his power. Verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Remember, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, if Jesus were here tonight and was giving this commission, he would say, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Fort Worth and in all of Texas. And you, a neighboring state, Oklahoma. Yeah, God loves Oklahoma too. And to the uttermost part of the world. Now I know somebody's asking already, how are we going to witness for Jesus to the ends of this earth? Don't you know how far it is across the circumference of this world? How on earth are we going to do it? Now listen very carefully. I'm going to tell you. You're going to think I'm smart after this. I'm going to tell you how you can do that. God gives us divine power to execute a divine program. That's it. Supernatural power to do a supernatural task. And that brings me to number 5, and this is final. Beyond the empty tomb is the prospect for the believer's future. Verses 9 and 10 of my text. Listen again. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel. Push the pause button right there for a second. If 2 men stood here on this platform, Pastor and me, 2 men stood here dressed in white, white suit, white shirt, white tie, white hair, white shoes, white socks, you believe what they had to say. You just have to believe what 2 guys like that had. Watch the men in white suits. In white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, By the way, all the apostles were from Galilee except Judah, and he's gone. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same, mark that word, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus. The same Jesus who was born of a virgin. The same Jesus who at age 12 confounded the doctors of law in the temple in Jerusalem. This same Jesus who was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. This same Jesus who healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped deaf ears, unloosed dumb tongues, straightened crooked limbs, raised the dead, went to Calvary, died, paid our sin debt, bore our sins in his own body, was buried, and rose again. Amen. And after 40 days, ascended back to the glory world where he is now at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Amen. What a wonderful Savior, this same Jesus. Now here, in my opinion, is one of the most important verses. Make a note of it. This is just my opinion, but I think you'll agree. It's Hebrews 9:28. Unto them that look, remember I told you to hold on to that word look a while ago? Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Unto them that look for him. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. May I get personal? Are you looking for Jesus? Remember Hebrews 9:28, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. May I get personal again? When is the last time you prayed this prayer? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Have you lately been gazing in the heavens as though he may come right now? Before I leave you, I must give you one more verse. One more. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. 1 John, that's the first epistle of John, verse 2 and verse 28. Verse 28. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, now that's not just little kids and babies, that's grown people, but that's an affectionate name for the believers. Abide, watch that word, it means to maintain a permanent residence. Maintain your permanent residence in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Follow me now. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. I'm going to read that again. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Would you stand with me quietly with your heads bowed? As we stand together, heads bowed. Oh, invitation's begun. The altar's already open. But listen carefully now, because I want to get personal again. Are you listening? Is there anything in your life of which you would be ashamed if Jesus comes tonight? May I ask that again? Is there anything in your life of which you would be ashamed if Jesus comes tonight? Now, with our heads bowed and nobody's going to drag anybody down the aisle, but I want to ask you to show by a lifted hand to say, God has spoken to me out of his word and by his spirit in this message tonight. Would you put your hand up if God's spoken to you? All over, there are many of you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Now, can I ask you to do one more thing? Why don't you just step out of your seat right now if you lifted your hand and come and make a contact. You've been wanting to get in touch with God. The best place I know to get in touch with him is at the altar. Just step right out of your seat. Don't wait on somebody else, or somebody else may not come. If God is speaking to your heart about anything, just step right out of your seat. Your head's bowed. Nobody's looking at you. Just step out and find you a place. Maybe you can't kneel. You can sit on the front pew, or you can stand. But if God has spoken to you, and you said he had, I didn't say that he had, you said he had. If he has spoken to you about anything in your life, if God is speaking to you now, why don't you just step out of your seat and come? And isn't it only a courteous thing if he's spoken to you for you to speak to him? Well, you say, but preacher, I can just do that right. Yeah, I know you can do it right where you are, but let me tell you, you'll feel better about it if you step out of your seat and come to the front. Would you do it? Anybody else? I'm going to turn the service over to the pastor.